to meet the men from the ministry. Let's take another spin in government circles with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. The British civil servant is a dignified figure, holding himself half aloof from life's hurly-burly. For his living depends on propriety, and he knows that half aloof is better than no bread. But today, in the General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown is somewhat ruffled.
Really, Mildred, your typing is getting worse. Look at this report on road safety.
Have I made another little boo-boo?
I was drawing attention to that dangerous double bend just outside Wenlock, wasn't I? Right? Yes. And look what you've typed.
Many accidents have occurred on this notorious double bend.
And the next sentence, go on.
It must be remembered there's a lot going on outside wedlock.
Oh, air is right, isn't it? And look at this. This paragraph should read 58 persons breathalyzed, not 58 parsons.
I'm ever so sorry, sir. It's been all go this week. I've hardly had a day to myself.
Morning, man.
You're late this morning, too.
Doesn't matter, does it? The office is open all day.
Well, that's not the point, is it? I mean, the fact is, it's bad for the civil service image. Some people think we all get in at 11 and we sit round drinking tea and we slope off home at 3:30.
That's not true. Last Thursday, I was here till 4:45.
Well, of course it's not true, but the point is, it's what the public believe. They're always ready to knock the civil service.
Right on, sir. Did you see yesterday's Sunday Chronicle? Here, I brought the article to show you. It's called Sex in the Civil Service.
My Joe, leave it.
I'm astonished, Mildred.
Ex-Ministry Secretary Betty Bedwell says many executives doodle in their secretary's pads, and some even spend the night in them.
Yeah, do you remember Betty Bedwell? She's been on more knees than a napkin.
And there's a section here about somewhere called the Swinging Brolly Club.
The Swinging Brolly Club? Well, what on earth's that?
Oh, it's a naughty place in Soho, sir. Hmm? Specially geared to the civil service. The girls all strip in triplicate. Oh, and the whiskey's laced with tea.
Gracious me.
It says lots of top ministry executives spend their afternoons there.
I'm very surprised, Mildred. I thought that sort of thing was confined to the permanent undersecretary.
Well, I think Sir Gregory's the worst.
Everyone knows about Sir Gregory. You saw that memo he issued last month.
Oh, yes, saying bosses whose secretaries are absent should take advantage of the girls in the typing pool.
But I'm amazed, you know, that others are letting the side down. Still, if this sort of thing goes on, the paper's right to expose it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me keep this article, will you, Mildred? I'd like to study it at leisure, you see. It actually has the address of the Swinging Brolly Club, does it?
Oh, yes, sir. But why would you want to study it?
Why? Oh, yes. Well, I feel it should be brought to the attention of the highest authorities, you see.
You mean Malcolm Muggeridge?
Well, something like that.
Well, I'll leave the article on your desk, then.
Thank you. Yes. Well, no, not like that, so that everyone can see it, Mildred. Pop it in an envelope or something.
Oh, righty-ho, sir. Yes. Oh, and you asked me to remind you about hospitality budgets.
Hospitality budgets?
Ah, yes, yes. There's a circular from Sir Gregory. Executives are to have individual hospitality allowances to bring us in line with common market practice.
I say, you mean when important visitors call, we can offer them something? We can stop pretending the canteen's been closed by the health inspector?
As I understand it, yes. We have to estimate a figure to cover our needs and enter it on this form.
How much are you going to ask for?
Quite a lot, Mildred.
Oh.
Quite a lot, yes. There'll be European civil servants coming over here expecting champagne, caviar.
Then you'd better ask for £1 a week.
Yeah, oh, that may be a little too much, no. No, the permanent undersecretary might not approve, you see.
You know what Sir Gregory's like? Mean old grumbler.
Now then, you two.
Oh, good mean old Sir Gregory. I mean, good morning, Sir Grumbly.
Be a quiet man.
Yes, sir.
Have you filled in your hospitality claim?
Ah, we were just about to put pen to papers on.
We thought a reasonable estimate might be £1 a week.
£1 a week?
Well, is that excessive, sir?
Or perhaps it's too much.
Well, of course it's too much. This is public money. It can't be dished out like confetti. Your hospitality budget will be 50p.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, these are stringent times. I shall be keeping my own hospitality budget down to £850 this year.
Oh, I see, sir. Yes, just £850 a year.
Of course not. £850 a month. I am an important senior figure and have to entertain foreign VIPs and trade delegations.
Really?
We have vital business to do. These people don't come to see me for fun.
I'm sure they don't.
The public seem to imagine we civil servants just have a good time at the nation's expense.
We were remarking earlier, sir, that there's been a lot of sniping at the civil service lately.
Oh, indeed there has. We're very much in the public eye. In fact, the whole of next week's panorama is to be devoted to the civil service.
The panorama? You mean that TV program? Oh, I must watch.
Well, naturally, I have been asked to appear.
On the other hand, I may be out that evening.
Well, they're looking at every aspect of the civil service. Lord Stilton's asked me to take part and explain these hospitality budgets, show how essential they are. I'll be interviewed by Robin Gay.
Oh, Robin Gay. He's the chap at the back of that big bow tie.
Yes, quite so. Well, I've had details prepared of this budget scheme and the sums involved, so Robin Gay can study them in advance and ask me the relevant questions.
Good idea, sir, yes.
Now, they're in this envelope, which I want you to send to the television centre. Make sure you post it today, first class, without fail.
Without fail, sir, you can rely on us.
And no slip-ups on this one. Lord Stilton himself is involved.
There you are, Pitkin.
Oh, good morning, Lord Stilton. Do come in, sir. Have a seat, sir. Make yourself at home. But how's Lady Stilton? Did her facelift work?
Stop chattering, man. What the devil's got into you? I haven't been at the medicinal brandy again, have
not
you?
Not yet, sir. I mean, not at all, sir.
Well, this TV thing you're doing next week, have you prepared all the data?
Oh, I certainly have, sir. I've given them a complete breakdown.
I'm not surprised. You've had me on the verge of one often enough. Now, what sort of figure are you quoting for hospitality?
Well, I've quoted £850, sir.
£850 a year?
£850 a month.
Oh, good grief, Pitkin, you've finally snapped. Too much wine, women, and song.
Oh, I don't often sing, sir.
£850 a month, indeed, for hospitality.
Well, you think it's too much?
It's 850 times too much, man. If the TV people saw a figure like that, the civil service would be pilloried.
Well, it was only a light-hearted suggestion, Lord Stilton.
Well, I hope you haven't sent this light-hearted suggestion to the BBC.
Oh, yes, I have. I mean, yes, I haven't. No, I haven't. I certainly haven't sent it to the BBC. Good Lord, no, sir.
Well, if the press or the media got wind of such a figure, you'd be out on your ear. They mustn't think we are wasting money. Quote a much lower figure. Good grief. £850 a month, what an idea. The man's an absolute...
Good Lord, out on the ear. Oh, thank heavens I gave that envelope to Lennox, Brown and Lamb. Those idle fools won't have posted it yet. They couldn't have. Could they?
You know, and I'm sure they're using inferior paper for these memo pads.
Oh, what makes you think that, too?
That last paper dot. It got nowhere near that traffic warden down there. Just did a feeble U-turn and embarrassed a pigeon on the windowsill.
Yes, and I'm afraid the quality of life is declining everywhere, you know.
Of course, I really need some cardboard. I think there's a file cover over here somewhere. Hello, what's this?
Oh, that's the envelopes that Gregory told you to post to the BBC.
Oh, so that's where it went. I couldn't find it yesterday, and then I forgot all about it.
Sir Gregory will go spare if he finds you haven't sent it.
Oh, well, we can rush it round today, and perhaps he needn't know.
Limit round, Lamb!
Well, talk of the devil. Devilish nice to see you, Sir Gregory. Do come in.
Have you posted that important BBC letter yet? The one I gave you yesterday?
Oh, will it make a difference to you, Sir Gregory?
Well, of course it will.
You seem rather agitated, if I may say so, sir.
Did you post that letter?
Oh, dear.
We did. We did, sir, yes.
Did we? Oh, we did, yes.
Oh, you didn't perhaps, by any chance, maybe post it second class?
Oh, good heavens, no, sir. Anything involving yourself, sir, naturally has to be first class.
Oh, yes, it'll be at the BBC by now.
Oh, I see.
Well, don't worry, Sir Gregory. We wouldn't let you down.
No, I won't worry. Right to. Let's get this over there at once.
It really wasn't a fib, you know. I had my fingers crossed.
Well, we can get into the BBC right away if we take it by taxi.
That'll be as quick as if we posted it yesterday. Who do we deliver it to?
The name's on the envelope. Look, Mr. Capon, Chief Liaison Officer, Television. Right.
Hello-y. Jeremy Capon, Chief Liaison Officer, Television speaking.
Sir Gregory Pitkin, General Assistance Department at the Ministry.
Hello-y.
There's been a slight slip-up, Mr. Capon. Nothing to do with me, of course. You'll be receiving an envelope from my department today.
Nice.
Now, I want you to ignore it. Do you understand? Ignore it and destroy it without opening it. The wrong document has been sent. That letter must be destroyed.
Oh, no trouble at all, Ducky. If only more correspondence could be destroyed without being opened, how happy we'd all be.
Quite.
We have a machine here to destroy all unwanted papers. It's an electronic shredder, Ducky. I'll see your envelopes put in there.
Oh, I'm very much obliged to you, Mr. Capon.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
What's a dominating man. Come in.
Ah, good morning. Are you the Chief Liaison Officer Television?
That's right, Ducky. Didn't you see it on the door? C-L-O-T.
Yes, then you're Mr. Capon.
Call me Jeremy. Jeremy Capon.
Yes. Well, we've brought this document from the Ministry, Mr. Jeremy.
Oh, I've had a call from Sir Gregory Pitkin about that.
Yes, he's one of my staff, you know.
Well, I assured him the envelope would go in our machine right away. I must say, he seemed very forceful.
Well, that's one of the things people call him.
Well, perhaps you boys wouldn't mind taking it along. Down the corridor on the left, third door on the right. Tell the lady this document's to go straight into the machine.
Have you switched on the computer, Edgar?
Yes, I'm switched on, Miss Swan. I said I'm all switched on.
Don't just stand there fiddling with your data. Start feeding it in.
This is all to do with the license increase, is it?
The BBC is facing a sharp rise in costs. The computer will work out what license we need to cover it.
I suppose there'll be the usual grumbles when it goes up. I said grumbles when it goes up.
No doubt. People don't appreciate our expenses. New blouses for Angela Rippon.
Increased charges for glazing Esther Ranson's teeth. I said Esther Ranson's teeth.
New pens for announcers to clip in their pockets after they've read the news.
New jokes for Bruce Forsyth. I said old jokes for Bruce Forsyth.
Good morning, madam.
Just one moment, I'll switch the machine off.
Yeah. Ah, there you are, that must be the machine. I told you, he said, down the corridor on the right, third door on the left.
Yes, what is it?
This document's to go in your machine, madam.
Indeed? On whose authority, may I ask?
Mr. Capon asked us to bring it.
Mr. Capon. Well, whatever he says goes. Such a nice young man.
Yes, quite.
Edgar, Mr. Capon says this document's to go in the machine.
Miss Bentwater, there, please.
Well, let's see. 8:15, panorama, facts, views, and people in the news. Yes, that's me.
Hello, Daphne Bentwater speaking.
Oh, hello, my little lotus blossom, Bunny here. Just reminding you to watch your TV tonight.
Oh, as if I'd forget, Bunny.
Special occasion, what?
Oh, yes, I never miss the Sweeney.
No, my dear. It's tonight I'm on Panorama talking about civil service budgets.
I'm sure you'll be awfully good, Bunny. You've got such a loud voice.
Well, yes, I have a certain authority.
And you've got the gift of the gab.
Well, I have a flair for words, yes.
And I'm sure you've prepared all the facts and figures.
Yes, I have prepared... Good grief, no.
Pardon, Bunny?
Well, I had prepared them, but Lord Stilton wanted changes. I cancelled the old, but I haven't sent them any new.
Oh, dear.
I'll get something over there at once. I'm glad you reminded me. I'll find some way of thanking you later, after the broadcast.
You could come to my flat for a bite.
Good idea. And then we'll have some supper. Bye-bye, my poppet.
Miss Pringle, assemble some Datron hospitality budgets for my panorama interview. And quickly, please. They need to know what to ask me about.
Mr. Lennox Brown, yesterday's Sunday Chronicle, the second installment of Sex in the Civil Service.
Ah.
What did they expose this week?
Oh, a real scandal, sir. Rude goings-on at the seaside home for retired civil servants.
Good Lord.
It's all that ozone that does it.
What page is this article, Mildred?
Page 9. You passed it.
You'd have thought they'd be past it. Yes, well, I haven't got time now. Cut out the article and put it with the first one, would you please?
Righty-ho, sir. Where's the envelope? Yeah, the ministry's really in the news, isn't it? What with tonight's panorama?
I just hope Sir Gregory does a decent job. I can't help thinking they might have asked us.
Quite, yes, yes. I felt very much at ease at the TV centre last week.
You know? Me too. Yes. We seem to fit in with the television people.
Yeah, did you meet any stars, sir?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. We chatted with Arthur Negus in the canteen.
He was trying to guess the age of a BBC meat pie.
We watched Kenneth Kendall sliding down the banisters.
I think I made quite an impression. I heard the girl at the desk say, "We've got a right one here."
Lennox Brown, Lamb, I have a job for you. It means you're going to the television centre.
Oh, Sir Gregory, we'd be delighted to do so, sir. Yes, we're known and respected figures there, you know.
Is it to do with tonight's panorama?
Yes, my secretary's preparing further data for my interview. You'd better take an early lunch and she'll leave the envelope on your desk. Rush it across first thing this afternoon.
It shall be done, sir, yes.
The hospitality increases have had to be slightly cut, I'm afraid. But only for the moment. I shall make it plain we're not getting enough and we hope for more in the spring, when the economic climate improves.
As you're new to this TV business, sir, we thought you'd like us to be with you tonight.
What? You two? Be there?
Well, we felt it would give you a lift, sir. Though we couldn't actually be with you in the studio, of course.
Oh, you couldn't?
No.
We thought we'd watch in the next-door viewing room. It's for VIPs and friends of those taking part.
Well, you're neither VIPs nor friends, but I suppose you could use it if you want.
Yes, well, we'll be there, sir.
Well, don't sit too near the front, and no need to come round afterwards. I'm sure you'll want to get home.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir.
Where is my studio, by the way?
It's rather complicated. I'll draw a little map and leave it at reception for you.
Well, get that envelope to Robingay's office immediately after lunch.
Robingay's office? Yes, sir.
Yes, he may be overawed at the thought of meeting me, so give him time to prepare his questions.
Robin, I've got the final running order for tonight's program.
Good evening. What do we start with?
Well, we start with the numbers employed in the civil service, and we'll state them again at the end of the programme, as by then they'll have gone up.
Quite.
We've deleted the piece on the ministry's post-war achievements.
Why?
There weren't any.
I see. Go on.
Then comes your interview with Sir Gregory Pitkin.
About?
About 2 minutes. That'll be enough. They say he's a frightful bore.
No, no, no. About what? What am I interviewing him about?
Well, I'm not awfully sure, but two civil servants brought in an envelope full of stuff just after lunch. It's in there with your spare bow ties.
Oh, yes. Here we are. Let me see. What's this? The envelope's full of newspaper cuttings.
Really? Oh, so it is. Sex in the civil service. Well, that must be what he wants to talk about.
Well, if we're dealing with that sort of rubbish, I'd better increase him to 10 minutes. It's the kind of thing viewers like.
Right, everyone, break now. We're on the air in just under an hour. Back at 7:40.
I must say, too, this is a nice comfy chair. And these viewing rooms are really luxurious, aren't they?
And the TV set's much better than my landlady's.
She doesn't have colour?
She doesn't have a picture at all. And it needs winding up to get any sound.
Quiet you now. Panorama's starting.
Good evening. Tonight's panorama is entirely devoted to that unique institution, the British Civil Service. We'll be looking at its history, its numbers, its function. And I'll be talking to Sir Gregory Pitkin, Permanent Undersecretary, about the controversial topic of sex in the civil service. But first, I invite
Good
you
Lord,
to...
Too. Yeah. That can't be right. Sir Gregory's supposed to be talking about budgets. It was all in that buff envelope.
Buff envelope? No, we gave him a white envelope.
The white envelope had Mildred's newspaper cuttings. Quick, we must get round to the studio at once. They've got it all wrong. Come on, hurry.
No, no. I'm sorry, you can't come in. Absolutely no visitors are allowed on the set during transmission.
But, madam, this is important. Sir Gregory Pitkin's interview.
That may have to be cut. Sir Gregory hasn't turned up yet. We think he may have got lost.
You half-baked nitwit lamb, this map of yours is nonsense.
Oh, this must be him now. Thank heavens you're here, Sir Gregory. You're on in a few moments.
Well, I've been trying to follow this useless map. I've been up on the roof and down in the boiler room twice. I'll murder you, lass.
Sir Gregory, you can chat with your chums later. Please come with me. You're on.
Yes, Sir Gregory, it has been an awful mistake.
Mistake? See, this map's a disaster. Yes. All right, young lady, I'll follow you.
Commissioner, don't let these men through. The program is on the air.
Oh, dear me. Well, too, I suppose we'd better watch.
What do you think will happen?
Well, it's obvious what'll happen. The man will ask about sex in the civil service, and Sir Gregory will talk about budgets.
Well, we tried to warn him.
Well, he'll never listen, will he? Go on, better turn the sound up.
Yeah. Professor Burke, thank you. Well, Sir Gregory Pitkin has just arrived, and we are going to discuss the controversial issue I mentioned earlier. Sir Gregory, this is a delicate matter, but facts are facts, and we have to face them.
Well, yes, this is a sensitive area, but I don't intend to beat about the bush. The plain fact is, I'm not getting enough.
Indeed. This is you, personally?
Well, many of my colleagues are in the same boat. Mind you, we all hope to get more in the spring when the climate is better.
Really?
Well, I'm glad we're discussing this topic. I prefer to have it out in the open.
I'm sure we all do.
But although we've got the spring to look forward to, I'd like a little bit now. Our opposite numbers in Europe get far more, you know.
Is that really so?
Yes, in Brussels there's a special department for it. And if any civil servant overdoes it in 1 week, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't?
Next month I'm expecting a foreign delegation. I'd like to put on a show for them. Let them see what we British can do.
Sir Gregory, I must ask you to be a lot less frank.
And I may say the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition will be involved.
Sir Gregory, please.
May I explain what their position will be?
Stop!
I'm sorry, Sir Gregory, but two bowler-hatted men have burst into the studio.
Stop the interview. Switch off the cameras.
It's all a mistake, Mr. Gay. When Sir Gregory says he wants more, he doesn't mean he wants more. He means he wants more because he put it in the wrong envelope and he hasn't been getting enough because of his small emoluments.
Well, viewers, due to a technical hitch, that's the end of Panorama for this week. In fact, I think that's the end of Panorama.
Well, Edgar, has the computer behaved itself in my absence?
I was a bit surprised how the license went up.
That was the point of the exercise, man, to discover how much we needed.
I know, but £850 a month does seem a bit steep. I said a bit steep.
£850 a month for a TV license? That's ridiculous. I said that's ridiculous.
Well, I think it was this last item from those two men in bowler hats. You remember, it wouldn't fit in my end, so we shoved it in up yours. I said up yours.
This document? Sir Gregory Pitkin, hospitality, £850 a month? This is a mistake. It has nothing to do with us. This document must have overridden the whole computer process. £850 a month. No one's going to pay that for a TV license.
Well, they'll have to. I said they'll have to. It's the law now.
Here is the news, read by Brian Martin. The new £850 TV licence appears to have caused a sharp drop in viewing. But it's claimed the BBC is still winning on Saturday nights, BBC One being watched by as many as four viewers, and ITV by two men and a dog. Large-scale TV redundancies have caused many well-known names to seek employment elsewhere. Richard Baker and other newsreaders have become town criers, and Ronnie Corbett has resumed his career as a garden gnome. Cinemas are reported to be full, especially those serving supper on a tray. And it's believed that some families, now without television, have even started talking to each other. Many TV addicts, desperate for a fix, have found relief in their local laundrettes. Laundrette owners are charging 50 pence to watch black and white washing go round and a pound for coloured things.
Of all the
stupid, blundering idiocy. Of all the fatuous, boneheaded, nitwit and lunacy, you useless, idle, bungling numbskulls.
Sir Gregory, if you're displeased, please come right out and say so.
Don't tell me how you fed my budget into that computer. Don't tell me why. The fact is you did. And the nation's lost its TV. And I've got the blame. You realize I'm finished, don't you? I'm finished.
Really? You usually go on much longer.
Great career in ruins.
That man who sold matches outside the station's retired. I think his pitch is vacant.
We buy a box from you every day, sir?
Well, every other day.
Oh, that does it, you two. I'll murder you.
There you are, Pitkin. I thought I heard happy voices.
Oh, come in, Lord Stilton.
I thought you'd like to know that TV business is cleared up. That the license is down to a sensible level and the public are all switched on again.
That is good news, Lord Stilton.
Well, actually, the PM's delighted with the whole thing. Viewers are so glad to have TV back, they're even watching political broadcasts.
Good Lord.
Well done, Pitkin. What's this I hear about you resigning?
Good heavens, what an idea. I wouldn't dream of it. No, I tell you what, sir, let me buy you a drink at my club.
Oh, very civil of you.
Oh, anything urgent, Lennox Brown, I'll be on this number.
Very good, sir, yes.
We can have a quiet chat about future policy, yes. Sir. Study the form and so on.
They'll be studying the form, all right. Hmm? This is the number of the Swinging Brolly Club.
Oh, I say, the wicked old devil.
Just a minute, sir. How do you know the number of the Swinging Brolly Club?
What? Oh, no, please. No.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.